Welcome to our Bible study of the Book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. We've been meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue our study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verse in question. Let us begin with a prayer. Holy gracious Heavenly Father, as we continue in our study, we pray again that your Holy Spirit will lead us into truth, and that we might fully be guided as to how we ought to go forth as we proclaim the gospel. Father, could it be that we might truly be diligent in our desire to be obedient to thee? Father, we pray that there be this burning, ongoing desire within our souls to be obedient to thy word, and that you will make us to will and to do of thy good pleasure. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're picking up on our Bible study. Hang on a second here. Okay, we're going to be picking up where we left off last week in our Bible study. We're in the book of Revelation. I believe tonight might be the last study in this book. If not, we'll continue next week. But we may go over a little if we have to, if we're that close. But we'll see where we go. We're working through the calendars, and we've been through the entire book of Revelation and many, many verses that apply to it, and to try to get a good understanding of these things. And we're now looking at the timing of the Great Tribulation, the timing of end time events. So that's where we're at today. We'll pick up in 1 hour. We've looked at on our study. Let me see if I can get here. Okay. Yeah, in 1 hour is she made desolate. That appears to be a 17-year period. And as we've been looking at these dates, we know that starts between the years of 1994 to 2017, which is a, No, to 2011, I'm sorry. 1994 to 2011. That's a 17-year period. Let's take a look at that. Now, we have reviewed this and seen these things already, but now we're looking specifically at the calendar, try to understand what's going on. We have looked at the 276 souls and the 2,300 days in our study, but we're going to review that again. This picture of the shipwreck and those that came out of Great Tribulation during the third watch after the midnight, entering the fourth watch. And for a more in-depth understanding, you can listen to the study 2,300 days. Found at nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-studies-0. Okay, we read in Acts. Now, let me see if we, I don't think we did this already. Let me just take a quick look. Yeah, no, I don't think we, well, actually, we have looked at this at an earlier date. We do know that, but I don't think we've looked at it just in relationship to the calendar. So let's just read through it and see where we go. Acts 27, verse 1, and this is a picture of the end of the world. It's the shipwreck that Paul, as he was sailing to meet Caesar, to go before Caesar. So Acts 27, verse 1, and when he was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, the centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Anathotyrum, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Astyotarchus, a Macedonian, or of Thessalonia, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And that was the key. The winds were contrary. And when he had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Panopolia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, so it was permitting them at that point in time, we sailed under Crete over against Salamone, and hardly passing, it came unto a place which is called the Fair Heavens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past. Now we know that the fast identifies with bringing forth the gospel. The Lord said through his word, is not this the fast I have, to bring ultimately the gospel. So that's the picture of the fast. Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. I got a note here in Isaiah 58 concerning the fast. Is not this the fast? This is verse 6 in Isaiah 58. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor, that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou covereth him, and thou hide not himself thyself from thine own flesh? Okay, so again, this idea of the fast is now already past. The bringing forth of the gospel in this particular place has now passed. We know the ship identifies with the church, and we're going to see as we come upon this is the shipwreck, and of course they'll have to abandon ship and go to an island. And the island identifies with the high place, by the way, because it's a mountain ultimately. An island is a mountain in the sea. It comes up out of the water. It's the land that brings forth, again, a mountain. So anyway, getting back to where we were, and because the haven was not yet commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth towards the south, west, and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called the Euryclidon, which is the wind from the east. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up onto the wind, we let it drive. And running under certain islands, which is called Claudia, We had made much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, and again, this is a picture of the great tribulation, the next day they lighted the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling gear of the ship. And of course that's the gear used for fishing, so fishing was no longer taking place. And of course the gospel message, the parable that Christ gives us, both in historical fashion and in also in word, is that he was going to make them fishers of men. They were all fishers of men, and the fishes of course identify with the people, and the net identifies with the gospel net, the sea identifies with the world, and the ship identifies with the church. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and we saw a lot of that language in the book of Revelation, that the stars are no longer given its light, the sun is no longer given its light. And no small tempest lay on us, it was a great storm. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence and long fasting, remember they are fasting. The fast is now already past, though. And Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, or Adria, I think it's pronounced, about midnight, the shipsmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Now, midnight is a clue here because it really identifies with the timing we read in Revelation, where the body of Christ responded to the gospel, well, to the Bible, to be come out of her, my people. And at midnight, that's when they came out. And found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for day. In other words, wishing for morning. And, of course, morning is the time period when the Lord, we still have a picture of the Lord coming. But anyway, and as the shipsmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurions and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day, and ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, now this of course is the picture of the meat of due season, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in all the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Now this 276 souls is the picture of the body of Christ saved. Of course, it's not a literal number, but it is a picture of the body of Christ being saved during this time period. So it identifies with the number of the people being saved or comes out of the Great Tribulation. And God gives us another number a little later on. But anyway, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And that's an interesting picture there, too, because the wheat identifies with the gospel, the sea identifies with the world. And by casting out into the sea, we see a picture later on in Revelation where we have the saints standing on a sea of glass with their harps, and the harps identifying with bringing the gospel. So it's a picture of, the wheat still going out into the sea, the bread of life still going out into the sea, the gospel message. Salvation is still available. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained immovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them, from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, all safe to land. Okay, so again, this was a picture of the body of Christ departing out of the church, ultimately fleeing into the mountains, which is commanded, and the 276 souls identify with the number of the individuals that have come out of the church during that time period. And we saw our calendar. Let's go back up to our calendar here. We saw on our calendar, let's see, the Great Tribulation, which started in 1994, and it goes for a seven-year period. And then there's a period of time of 10 years where the body of Christ is departing out during that process. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners or partakers. And it's identifying with one of the two women, obviously. You know, there's one woman in Revelation identifies with the body of Christ, the one standing on the moon and the sun and the crown and so on. That's the picture of the body of Christ. But the other is the picture of the harlot. And so it's coming out of the harlot, out of the apostate churches. Come out of her, my people. And this is the time period of the great apostasia. King James interprets the word apostasia as the falling away. So it's the great apostasia. So this is a period of ultimately 7 years where the body of Christ is in the church, and then they start to part out about 2001 through 2011, 17-year period. And then another 6,000 years before we come to that time period where its total desolation is in view. And then we have the next period of time, which God refers to as a double portion, which is another 13-plus years. We know that that the end of the world will come when we hear that man says peace and safety, and that's when sudden destruction will come. And I think we will be seeing that coming about us soon, maybe in the next year or two or so. Okay, so the next thing, again, is this picture of the 1 hour. And 1 hour she made desolate. And for more in-depth understanding, listen to the audio study 1 hour, parts 1 and 2, found also on our Bible page. And again, for anybody joining us this late, a lot of this isn't going to make much sense because we're looking at the calendar. We spent, goodness, since we started this study back in September, and we were doing 2 a week. And we've been pretty much 2 a week all the way through, except the past couple of weeks we've broken back to once a week. So you really need to go through all of those things to really start to see this picture. But anyway, we read in Revelation 17, verse 7. And this is again a clue, and this is what we're looking for, is when is this 1 hour? And 1 hour is she made desolate. What is that picture? Where is that? Anyway, Revelation 7, verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her. That's the one we've got to come out of. Come out of her, my people, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, so that identifies with Satan, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains. The mountains are the high places. Remember, we saw the beginning in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the 7 churches, is identifying with the high places. And here are the 7 mountains, and we know that all those churches have gone apostate. They've all fallen away over time. And that's the constant state of things. People are constantly rejecting Christ. Churches are constantly falling away, and God is constantly raising up new churches, until the end, of course. So the 7 heads are 7 mountains, high places, on which the woman sitteth to sit as to rule, and this is the harlot. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is the 7th, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns, which thou sawest, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as king 1 hour with the beast. And that's the hour of judgment. In 1 hour is she made desolate. And we know that the number 10 identifies with the completeness of whatever God has in view. And the horns identify with power. It identifies with the word of God, ultimately. It identifies with power. So it's given us a picture of completeness of these kings. And they're not literally 10 kings. It's the kings of the earth. Those who have gone apostate and bringing forth a false gospel. The nature of the Great Tribulation, as we have learned over and over and over again, is false Christs and false prophets. So they receive they haven't received the kingdom as yet, but receive power during this 1 hour. Receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, with Satan. These have one mind and shall have give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. We know the Lamb is the Lord. And he is the Lord, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the Hua sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the Hua, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. You see, that's identifying with the Word of God. And remember, Satan comes with the Bible, and he quotes Scripture, which is, again, a witness against himself at the same time, and it's going to burn with fire. It's going to bring judgment. But he brings Scripture, and of course he twists that Scripture. For God had put it into their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto Satan, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And that, of course, is the Jerusalem below. There are two Jerusalems. We've seen that numerous times and throughout our study. And we'll continue to see that throughout all of our studies as we continue on into the Gospels. So the woman which thou sawest is that great city. So it's either the Jerusalem above or the Jerusalem below. And the Jerusalem above is the body of Christ. And the Jerusalem below identifies with the corporate church, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. And now we've already seen what mystery Babylon is. And of course, that brings us again back to the corporate church, a church that has gone apostate. Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils. And of course, that suggests that at one time it wasn't, but now it's become that. And the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, it's become prison to the unsaved. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners or partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So what is it we're supposed to come out of? The Bible is clear, come out of her. And who is the her? There's only two hers. It's either the harlot or the bride of Christ. And of course, it's not come out of the body of Christ. It's to come out of the harlot. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you. And here is the double, and double unto her, double according to her works. Remember, God shortens the days, because why? Because no flesh will be saved. The gospel has been silenced. And so we're commanded to come out. So the days are shortened, as we saw in our studies. And here we have this picture that there is a double judgment upon the harlot. And of course, the first judgment upon the harlot was the Great Tribulation, which was a full 23 years long. And then after that, we start to see the judgment upon the nations and upon Leviathan. And that starts in 2017. And we don't know how long that continues. But the only thing we have after that to know when the Lord will come is when man says peace and safety. That's when destruction comes. That's when the Lord returns. That's when we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. So anyway, going back to this, reward her even as she rewarded you. So she rewarded you with ultimately tribulation, with the silencing of the gospel, the killing of the two witnesses, no longer being able to bring forth that gospel. But it's a double thing. It's a double one to her, according to her works. So there's tribulation, great tribulation, still going upon in the church, upon the unsaved, upon the false prophets and the false teachers. And double unto her, double according to her work. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. Fire is judgment, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off from fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, okay, and again, it's not a literal hour, it's a period of time, for in 1 hour, as a matter of fact, it's 17 years long, in 1 hour is that judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise any more. Now, I do believe this is the body of believers that have come out of the church, and they are mourning over the church because, you know, it's a big message to say, come out of the corporate body, come out of the church. For 2,000 years, we've been told that we need to be in the church. We need to become part of a church, and that's where we come together at least once a week on the Sabbath. So the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and the pearls and the fine linen and the purple and the silk and the scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls. And we saw that all this language identifies with the church. For in 1 hour so great riches has become to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in the ships and the sailors and as many as a trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Now, the reason why I think that these individuals that are standing afar off is still God's elect, I think those are the people particularly that responded finally to the gospel through the depart-out message and did come out because they cast dust on their heads. And that is one of the key things of humility. That's one of the key things of repentance. We read about that I think in Job also, but in Jonah. And I think we also read about that in Job also. But Jonah is a big picture where, of course, the king and all of the people repented and they sat there, they dressed in sackcloth and they sat in dust and cast it over their heads. And the idea of this dust also, dust identifies with snake food. And snake food, of course, is the dust. And you know, in science, we learned that 40 to 60% of the dust is actually from skin, so it identifies with the flesh. So, and they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea," the church is going out, the denominations, "by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers that bring in the gospels, and musicians, and pipers, and trumpeters, all identifying with the bringing forth of the gospel, shall be heard no more at all in thee." So at one time it was rich, and the gospel was going out. And no craftsmen, the stone cutters, you know, the body of Christ is referred to as the word okidom, edifying, the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, and identifies with stones, Christ himself being that chief cornerstone, and we also being those stones built up upon each other, building up a temple, a dwelling place for the Lord, a picture of the body of Christ. So no craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone, and that of course is grinding the wheat or the corn for the purpose of the bread, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle, which identifies with the gospel, shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom, and of course that is Christ, and the bride, which is the body of Christ, shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived. And in her were found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and of all that was slain upon the earth. Okay, so that 1 hour of judgment, okay, and again, it's a picture of judgment. It's a picture of judgment when in 1 hour is she made desolate. And when does she become desolate? She becomes desolate when the body of Christ has completely removed itself, when they've been called out, when they've gone out to meet the Lord. Go ye out to meet him is the command. We read about that in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. So that period of time, again, is the Great Tribulation starting here at 1994 and reaching across all the way through 2011, and that's when it would be desolate. From 2011 to 2017 would be the final end of the Great Tribulation and the beginning at that point, after that, the beginning of nations being judged, Leviathan, the sea monster, being judged. Okay, so that's the hour of judgment, and that gives us a lot better of understanding in a half hour of silence, which is the seventh seal, which we're going to look at the seal shortly. But the seven seals, you know, the seventh seal in itself is when the hour of silence comes, in a half hour of silence. And, of course, that's identifying with the body of Christ being killed, referred to in Revelation as the two witnesses. Two, identifying with the church, could be corporate or spiritual, either or, you have to look at the context to see which one it is. But anyway, two identifies with the church, so the two witnesses, that's the whole body of Christ, is silenced. And if there's silence, then there's no gospel going out, there's no salvation available. But there's always been salvation available in the world. And we've seen that, of course, throughout this whole time period. And also, we'll see the picture going to come up a little later, where the body of Christ is out on the sea of glass, bringing forth the gospel, bringing the harps, which identifies with the bringing of the gospel. Okay, judgment upon Leviathan, we saw that. 1 hour desolate, double portion. The double portion, again, is coming from 2017 till the end of the world. There's continued judgment, continued fire, continued judgment upon the false prophets and the false teachers and those who have the itching ears to follow them and prefer the lie. The woman fed 1,260 days. We've looked at quite a few things in here on this before. That's also 1,260 days is also 42 months. It also is 3.5 years. And these numbers God uses a lot. He may use a half a week which is 3.5. He may use a half of 7, which again brings us to a week. 7 identifies with the week, but a half of 7 years is also 3.5 years. 42 months is 3.5 years. 1,260 days is 3.5 years, or 42 months. So let's take a quick look at that and see once. The woman fed 1,260 days. Okay, so now this is identifying this particular 3.5, and God gives us a couple of places with these 3.5. He gives us the 70 weeks and then gives us the dividing of 1 week. He gives us the hour and divides that in half. But he comes up with 3.5 many times. The ministry of Christ was identified as 3.5 years. As a matter of fact, it was literally 1,290 days. And we've already looked at that. But now we're looking at the 1,260 days. Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And this, of course, is the body of Christ. The sun identifies with the gospel, the light of the world. And the moon under her feet, the moon we saw identified with the law of God, brings us back to the word. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And the crown identifies with being kings, ultimately, and the Lord is the King of Kings. And the 12 stars identified with the 12 apostles, or the 12 tribes of Israel. That we saw in the 24 elders in the beginning of the book of Revelation as we were reading. And she being with child, that child being Christ, that's how come now we know, as we read through the rest of this, we know this is the time period of the New Testament era that is identified as 3.5. So, and she being with child, Christ, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. And a dragon identifies with Satan, having the 7 heads and 10 horns, the harlot is riding that dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns, the beast, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third star part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Now, just taking back here a third part, we've looked at the thirds. God speaks about three parts all the time. He usually breaks it up into two-thirds, one-thirds. One-third, and again, these are not literal breaking down of numbers. This is figurative language. One-third identifies with the body of Christ. Another third identifies with those who are under the hearing of the body from the body of Christ, but still are of the world, are still unsaved, many of which will become saved by God's mercy and will. And another third identifies with the world itself. So God breaks these three-thirds up. And whenever we look at the one-third, wherever we see that, we have to look within the context to see which third is God speaking about. So anyway, so the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to bring forth the Christ child, the body of Christ, the Old Testament church, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, which was to rule the nation with a rod of iron, clearly picture of Christ. And her child was caught up unto God, the ascension, and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God. And fleeing into the wilderness and the place that was prepared is the picture of the corporate church. God has prepared a place for her, that they should feed her, hear the gospel, feed her there 1,203 days. So that's 1,260. Okay, so that 3.5, it's going to come up a few times, and it's going to identify with different areas. So we see now that this picture of the identifies ultimately, of course, with the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which starts in 33 A.D. Christ was born in 7 B.C., There's an error in the Bible, in the calendar, and we've made adjustments for that. So 7 B.C. to 33 A.D. And so that period of time, as we see right here, is right through the church age, the fig tree getting in leaf, going into leaf, which we saw was Israel becoming a nation, the beginning of sorrows, which leads us into great tribulation, the end of the world, the end, and again, We've looked at the world. The world could identify with numerous things. It could identify with the church, you know, the world identifying with the church, could identify, which would also be referred to Judea. It could identify with, in the days of Rome, the Roman Empire, or it could identify with the entire world going out into Asia. So we have to look into the context to see which end of the world is in view. And the end of the world is the end of the church age. There is another end of the world in a literal sense, and that, of course, is Judgment Day, which we don't think is too far away now. So anyway, we get this picture here of this that we just looked at, the 1,260 days. We saw the 1 hour made desolate. We saw the double portion, which is a period of 13 years, another 13 years plus. Okay, goes from 2017 to 2024 and through plus. So we don't know where that ends up. But whenever the world works out the situation with when Leviathan is brought to be judged, and if Leviathan's being judged, then nations are being judged, and then man says, finally, peace and safety. That's when destruction comes. Okay. Now this here, we're going to look at the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. Now there are 69 weeks in view and in years. And a lot of people have tried to work through this. And I just recently come to an understanding, I think, on this 70 weeks. It's the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. And we'll see that it's broken up into 69-week period, a 62-week period, and a 70-year period, a 70-week period, which is the total. And remember, the seven is sevens, and a half of a seven is 3.5, even though we're looking at weeks, God's referring to it as years. And the beginning of the counting of the years, which we're going to read this language, but let's to take a look at it, it starts when the fig tree is in leaf, which took place exactly May 21st, 1948, all the way up until, all the way up until, it goes through troublous times, which we're going to look at that language, all the way up to 2017, which is a period of 23 years plus 40 years, which is, 40, 50, 60, it should be 69, I think. Hold on a minute. Yeah, 69 years. So it's 40 years. Oh, yeah, then from 1988, we have 2,300 days going to 1994. But let's take 1948... Let's take 2017 just to do the mathematics here. So 2017, 2017, minus 1948, okay, that's 69. So it's 69 years. And that's identifying with the 69 weeks that Daniel is speaking about. And we're going to go read that in a minute. But then God breaks it up to another 62 weeks. And he says, then talks about 62 weeks, that's when Messiah will be cut off. Okay? Now, the 62 weeks when Messiah shall be cut off, we're going to look at the language because it's talking about the streets shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. So after the 62 weeks, if we look back to counting from that, we again go back to 1948 and we're brought over to 2011. And that's when desolation has been made. That's when Messiah is cut off totally. And that's a period of 62 years, being figurative language as 62 weeks. So let's read the language of Daniel, the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. There it is. And the end ends up of sin, the end of sin. So 70 weeks of Daniel 9, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which were made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by book the number of the years, whereof the word of God came. Now you see how he just referred to the number of the years, and we're going to look now, it's going to be called weeks. But anyway, the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So that's an interesting picture. God is referring 70 years. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant. Covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. Same problem back in the days of Daniel. And this, of course, has really given us a picture, this 70 weeks, and this all this language has given us a picture, bringing us right into Revelation, of the apostasia, the falling away. Neither have they hearkened unto the servants and the prophets which spake in the name of our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies, mercies and forgiveness though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servants of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All this evil has come upon us, yet make we not our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understanding thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his work which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hath brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as that at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. You know, and you know, God speaks with this Jerusalem going back and forth, talking about the Jerusalem above and the Jerusalem below. It gets very confusing. You have to be very careful. We saw that in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation when we looked at the seven churches, that God is speaking of the blessings and the good works, and then, of course, starts going into the curse. So we've got to remember, Abraham had two sons. He had Jacob and Esau. And in Romans we read, God says, "And Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." In the womb, before they were even born, before they ever done anything, God says, because he knows the beginning from the end, and he knows who his elect are, and the hearts of men are desperately wicked. So we got to keep that in mind as we read through this, okay? That God is speaking to two sons. He's given the blessings to one and the curse to the other. Our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach, that's Jerusalem below, to all that is about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary. That's the place where the gospel is. To shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate. It's now desolate. Remember, the 70 weeks, this whole chapter is really focusing in on the end of the world, okay? Behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. Did I skip something here? Let me see. Let me just reread from 18. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness. And remember, the body of Christ during this time period that Daniel is talking about has been silenced. The two witnesses have been killed. The dead bodies lieth in the streets, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, even where our Lord was crucified. You know, he was crucified right outside the gates of Jerusalem. And that is identifying, ultimately, it's given a picture of where the sanctuary is. And the sanctuary, of course, is where the gospel is being preached, where the body of Christ brings forth the gospel in the churches. And now it's become desolate. It's a city. The Jerusalem below has become desolate. And it's identifying again with one of the two sons in this case. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but our great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. And do defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For thy city and the people are called by thy name. They're called Christians. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. And remember, the one son is always praying for the other. Yea, while I was yet speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening. That's the first watch. Remember, God, we saw earlier that there are four watches. And God asked the question, which watches are you going to come? It's going to come in the first, the second, the third, or the fourth. And we now have discovered he comes in the fourth watch. So he touched me about the time of evening on the first watch. And as we're coming into that first watch, that's when the seals are starting to open. That's when understanding is starting to come through. That's when we see the seven trumpets starting to identify with periods of time. So touch me about the time of the evening, the first watch, oblation. That's the act of offering the bread and the wine and the Eucharist. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks. Now remember, he was speaking about years. He was speaking about 70 years, and now God is breaking this up into 70 weeks. So he's hiding this in his word, and he's referring to weeks as years. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to bring it to an end, and to make an end of sins. That brings us right to the end of the world, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in the everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So that brings us right on to the end. 70 weeks from some period of time, which we saw was 1948, the fig tree coming in leaf, all the way through to the end of the world, in the world being ultimately the world, the earth, everything, this creation. Okay, so 70 weeks are determined. Let me see where I left off. To seal the vision, and we'll pick up here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build the Jerusalem unto Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. That's a total of 69 weeks. And we saw that period of time when we were looking in the calendar. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Of course, we're going through the tribulation, the beginning of sorrows, the entering into tribulation, the great tribulation, which is a period of 24 years. And then, of course, the second portion, the double portion. Okay, so again, even in troublous times. Then he gives us another number, and he says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That's 62 weeks. And we saw that brought us to the time of desolation. The body of Christ had departed out. But not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. It's a flood of false doctrines. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And again, you know, the war is, again, the war of ultimately words, and Christ going forth, as we saw in the white horse, conquering and to conquer, all the way to the end. And then we saw how the other three horses identified with the falling away. The one horse identified, which I think was the black horse, identified with the beginning of sorrows. And then the red horse, the red identifying with blood of judgment, that gave us the picture of the time period, which is called the second woe also. We saw that. And that gives us a period of time during the Great Tribulation. It's the beginning of Great Tribulation and bringing us into the time beginning of Great Tribulation, bringing us through that time period where the two witnesses are actually killed and eventually come out, are called out of her. And then the third woe we did see was Judgment Day itself. And he shall confirm the judgment, verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant and many for 1 week. Now that 1 week is identifying with that period of time after 2017, which is the end of the Great Tribulation, but tribulation is a double portion. It continues upon the corporate body. The judgment continues upon that apostate church. So that 1 week begins at that point, which we've identified as 2017, and we looked at how all these numbers came to be and how the calendar was laid out, and how we found all these dates in the Bible, and some in history, like Israel becoming a nation, being the sign of the end. And the Feast of Trumpets, a date set, you can't move it. And also we saw the Sabbath, which is the Jubilee of Jubilees, which is the 50th Jubilee, which is a Sabbath Jubilee, 50 years of Sabbath. And we saw the picture of winter, identifying with, of course, so the picture of the boat. And all of that, you know, God tells us, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath, not during the time of the shipwreck, not during the time of the Sabbath when there is rest and there is no gospel going forward, at least not in the corporate body. Okay, so 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. I already read through that. Let me see where we're at. Okay, I'll pick up in 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, 62 weeks, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, a flood of all doctrine. And unto the end of war, desolations are determined, body of Christ removed. And he shall confirm the covenant with many, for 1 week, that's that last week, that's the 69th, that's the 70th week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease. It's a payment for sins, the bread and the cup, the body and the blood. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, again, so we can see where these time, you know, looking at the language and working through the time clues, we can start to piece this calendar together. And again, you know, you got to go through this many times if someone's really interested in understanding this part to really see the dates, times, going and looking at the study and the calendar, the hidden calendar in the Bible, and so on and so forth. But there's lots of studies which we're referring to as we're going through this to see that. Okay, so we now have the picture of the Jubilees, which we've been talking about. I think we've looked somewhat at it, but we're going to look again at the Jubilees. Jubilee of Jubilees, it's the 50th Jubilee. It's also called the Sabbath Jubilee. It's a time when you shall return every man unto his possession. We read about this in Leviticus. Remember, in Revelation, it was in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, all three, which referred, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath, talking about the Great Tribulation, the flight being fleeing into the mountains, the mountain being the holy place, ultimately your Bible. That's the mountains. That's the high place. Leviticus 25, 1-13, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. And again, this is the picture. This particular is talking about the time when there's no sowing. The vineyard isn't being pruned. It's a time of rest in the land, in the sense that the gospel's not going out. That which groweth of it of its own accord is going to grow wild of thy harvest. Thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vines undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. That's the meat of due season. That's the things of the that we read about in the book of Revelation. We read about at the end of the world here. And the Sabbath of the land, and this is the Jubilee of Jubilees, okay, the 50th Jubilee in counting, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. And by the way, and I know we looked at this, you know, we have 40 Jubilee years, Jubilees, from the birth of Christ, bringing us to 1994. 40 Jubilees. 1994, specifically September 6, 1994, which we identified from a couple of different ways, but that's when the announcement for the trumpets, and then we have the Feast of Trumpets, and of course we read about the trumpets in the book of Revelation, and that identifies and gives us really the pictures of the placement of the different parts of the Great Tribulation by studying the seven trumpets and the language around that seven trumpets, and bringing together all that other language that we've been looking at throughout the entire Bible, filling in that area to understand, to get more information. It is the meat of this season, the meat in due season that God, that Christ spoke about, that we are to give in that day, the meat of this season. You shall not sow, neither reap. Let's go back. Let's see where we're at. Get that out of the way. Let's go to, I'm going to pick up here. And you shall hallow the 50th year. Okay, so it's the 50th Sabbath. September 6, 1994 is the beginning of the Sabbath, the Jubilee, and it is the beginning of the 50th, so it's 50 years of Sabbath. So it takes us right through and beyond the end. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. It's the time when God is separating the sheep from the goats. He's going to then judge us, those on the right hand and those on the left hand. Throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee, it's the ram's horn, unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year, or the jubilee of jubilees, be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it, or the vines undressed. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the fields. To go out in the fields, ultimately, is identifying going out into the world. And that's where you're going to find your spiritual food. That's where you're going to bring the gospel out. In the year of the Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. Okay, so let's see how much more we have to look at, and we'll make a decision whether we're going to continue and finish up tonight or pick this up next week. Okay, we've seen the beginning of sorrows, the winter, the end of the church age, the sea of glass. Let's look at that. The seven vials, the great multitude, 144,000. I think we'll save this for next week because I think it's going to take at least a half hour to 40 minutes to go through these. So next week will be the time that we'll end our study in Revelation. And then the following week, we'll be picking up on Matthew. Now, I was talking with you, Eric, about potentially starting out in, the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, with my intent to really go through the whole gospel at some point of Matthew. And I thought, well, why don't we just do the whole book, and we'll start at the first chapter and go right through. So that's what we're going to do when we do get into the book of Matthew. But we're going to have one more week, I think, here to finish off this study. I'm sure it'll be complete next week now. And then the following week, we'll pick up on the Gospel of Matthew. All right, if anybody has anything, a question or a comment at this point, if not, we'll sit down and we'll pick back up again next Wednesday. Okay, no hands up, so we're going to shut down for the night. All right, Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.